Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, Etefano, this is me and all my homies love native manu, and this week we are talking about the korora, the little penguin. Oh, that's bloody funny,
I got a great call.
And here with me, as always, to talk about our special native manu is Pete. Welcome back,
yeah,
Pete.
Morena Liv. Always good to be here.
Let's turn that call off because it's going to distract me. So, we're talking about the korora today. Can you tell me about the classification of this manu, please, Pete?
Yeah, there are two korora species in Aotearoa. One of them is endemic, so only found here, and that's found around a lot of the New Zealand sort of coastline and particularly offshore islands. And the other species is native, and it came across from Australia about 200 years ago. But that's kind of restricted to the Otago coastline.
Okay.
Plus obviously in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But the manu are very similar.
And I didn't know there were two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a long time for them to figure that out.
Yeah.
And there's been all sorts of arguments. Are they separate species? Are they subspecies? I just think the korora and let's have another coffee or something. Not worry about it. But anyway, they're the smallest penguins in the world.
Yeah, they're pretty
and
cute,
they're so
eh?
Cute.
Yeah. And they're at risk, their
at
population?
Risk, declining.
Yeah.
So they've been declining for some time.
Mm.
Once very common around the mainland island sort of coastlines, but due to predators, coastal development, and a lot of conflicts with human activities.
Absolutely.
They're now much more restricted, but they still breed sort of in the Hauraki Gulf, Wellington Harbour, Fiordland, Mutunau Island.
Where's that?
It's down south somewhere.
down those ways.
Banks Peninsula.
Shout out Banks Peninsula.
Oamaru, Otago Peninsula. Some of the islands in Fovo Strait and around Rakiura. And in the Chathams.
Damn, they're quite widespread.
So they're widespread,
they?
But in quite specific areas.
Yes, definitely.
And their numbers are nowhere near previous populations, and the bulk of them on offshore islands.
Yes, of course, predator-free islands, I imagine.
Yeah.
And you've written something here. There are 18 penguin species around the world.
Yeah, quite a few of them in New Zealand, with four endemic species in Aotearoa.
I would have thought there'd be more. That's just, I don't know.
Yeah, but they diverged into penguin species about 45 million years ago.
Wow.
And they don't have any other related sort of bird species, like... You think about sort of emus and ostriches.
Yeah.
They're kind of related, but these are penguins, a penguin, basically.
Yep,
they're
harder.
They're all got similar body shapes, flipper wings, all quite fat, if food is plentiful.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, so many things we did in the past, but they used to be slaughtered and boiled down for oil, and that was once all the fur seals were slaughtered and become sort of scarce, but that practice was outlawed, and it was one of the first environmental campaigns around the world to save manu.
Wow.
So that was quite good.
And that was the korora.
Yeah.
But, yeah, only after...
Hundreds of thousands were
Oh, God, yeah. We can't bloody undo that, can we?
No.
But,
no.
Yes, very important manu for tangata whenua, traditionally used for food. The Māori name for Russell, called Rareka, literally means sweet penguin.
Mm.
Can you talk to that a bit, Pete?
Well, there's a story. It's reported that a wounded chief requested a soup made from the bird and remarked, Ka reka te korora.
Yeah.
How sweet or tasty is the penguin?
I love that
and
so
Russell
much.
Apparently is named after that incident.
I love that. And a number of iwi around the motu, like Ngāti Toa, actively involved in protecting the korora. And a little whakatauki for you to take into your day, he korora, he tohu oranga. Ooh, what does that talk to, Pete?
The little penguin is a sign of life.
Mm.
And it's often used as an indicator of marine health.
Yes, of course.
And so that's quite appropriate, because if there's lots of little penguins thriving, then the ocean is healthy and it's got lots of food and, you know, things are going well. So often, particularly Māori, they have these particular indicator species, and if they are thriving, it's an indication that the ecosystem's thriving.
Beautiful, and the korora is that. So we've talked about how they're quite small, but can you just describe them a little bit more for us, Pete, and also what do they chow down on? What are they eating? Yep.
Gorgeous, gorgeous wee manu.
Yeah.
You just cannot help but love them.
And I'm going to be really brave now and say that it is one of my spirit birds.
It is, yes. It's good to know.
Yeah.
I think you have a few more.
I think
I've got... Like the kaki.
I like the kaki.
And the rybal, maybe.
Yeah, the ngutu padi.
Yeah, so you just don't
but
know
But I think
it.
The korora is a really special one for me. Yeah. Yes.
Well, you'll catch up to me soon enough. But they weigh about 1 kilo, and they're about 33 centimetres long.
Tiny.
Medium blue to indigo blue, sometimes with a bit of a greenish tinge. White underparts, but slight colour variations around the motu. They've got quite a sharp hooked bill. Irises are blue, grey or hazel. And their legs and feet are off-white with dark soles.
Very
interesting looking.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of character. Wings are flippers, which help them zoom around the ocean, chasing food or avoiding predators.
I heard they can swim up to 6 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
And then I thought, that's not very fast. And then I thought, well, no, that's probably as fast as I go on my bike up New North Road.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
It's probably quite remarkable for such a small
bird.
That's
good, yes. They're very noisy manu, though, and quite smelly. And their calls at their nesting sites, they were described on the Birds Online site as a loud braying ending in an inhalant squeal and also with deep grunts.
That is a phenomenal explanation.
That's a good description, eh? That's quite poetic, I thought.
Yeah, put that on a T-shirt.
And then at sea, they sort of use more of a barking sound to communicate with each other.
Wow.
Yeah. And they dive for food in the neretic zone.
What the frick is the neretic zone?
I came across that. It's quite a cool word. It's basically... I look for these interesting words. The neretic zone is just the shallow first kind of 200 metres of the ocean. It's where a lot of the life is.
Yes, so of course.
The manu can dive up to 50 or 70 metres and they catch small shoaling fish, squid and crustaceans.
Wow, pretty incredible for such a small bird.
Yeah.
I'm always in awe of our manu and what they're capable of. And they molt every year.
Yes.
Why do they do this, Pete?
Oh, it's like all the molting birds, their feathers get a bit worn during the year and they're using them hard out, and then they get a bit frayed and a bit raggedy.
Because their feathers are all waterproof as for when they're swimming.
Yeah, so in between January and March, they have to almost double their body weight to get through 2 weeks of molting. And they drop particularly their wing feathers, and they grow new ones.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe we should double our body weight and then drop all of our feathers too, just to have some time to relax.
Well, I think I sort of do that during winter. I put on a fair bit of body fat, and then summer comes around and you think, oh, I've got to get into my dogs. I've got to look a bit sharper than I am now.
You really get to know yourself in that moment post-winter, don't you?
Try not to look in the mirror too much.
And as for their breeding patterns, mostly monogamous.
Yes.
Or this is a crazy fact. They have a divorce rate of 18%
each year. How do they know that? Did they get them to fill in the census form?
Have you been faithful? I looked up the divorce rate for humans in Aotearoa, and it was much lower than that, actually.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Crazy, eh? So the penguins aren't doing well.
I thought the divorce rate was about 50%.
Oh, maybe I looked at the wrong thing.
Anyway.
Don't take my word.
They breed in isolated pairs or colonies. And they have this courtship dance where the male commences.
Oh, this is funny.
It's good, eh? Stands up, head held high, wings back, like, you know, chest out, and basically yells at the top of his voice for a mate.
Oh, my God. Is that what you did when you met Marani?
I don't think so. I don't think that would have worked too well.
No, I don't think so either.
Anyway, a female becomes interested. And then they do this walking around in circles, yodeling at each other.
Wow.
And then afterwards, they do this kind of bowing behaviour to each other, both in courtship and throughout the breeding season. And it's like, I see you, my fat little lover. We're having babies together. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. And so, yeah, once they've done the courtship ritual,
yes,
they're nesting.
Yeah, and all sorts of things, burrows, rock cavities, caves, under batches and buildings.
Yes.
But they do like make a lot of noise and they're quite smelly.
Yeah.
So it's a real commitment to have them under your building or batch.
I remember smelling them once and being like, oh, that's... Yeah. You need some bloody Rexona,
yeah,
brother.
So a lot of conservation groups build nest boxes for them, and they do like the nest boxes.
Yeah,
they take to them.
That's good.
And they can walk up to 1.5 kilometres inland,
yeah,
and climb up to 300 metres to get to their nest.
Phenomenal. I remember when we were at Flea Bay, Pohatu Bay on Banks of the Peninsula, and we did a tour there, and they were telling us at the Manu climbed up the hill to get to their nest, and it was like practically a cliff face, and I was like, bloody hell, I can't even walk up there with feet and these legs.
Well, anatomically,
yeah,
it's really hard. They've got these tiny little flipper feet thing and fat little bodies, so
yeah,
the chances of
rolling down
probably quite high. Yeah, anyway,
oh, that's really
good,
funny
on them.
Good on
the,
them
the committed.
And they normally lay two eggs,
incubate. 5 weeks.
Yep.
Chicks stay on the nest for about 7 to 8 weeks. And for the first couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, one parent's on the nest with them.
Yeah.
The other's out hunting for food. And then after 2 or 3 weeks, they leave the chicks alone on the nest while both parents go and gather food.
That's incredible.
Yep. And they feed through regurgitation, which is, you know, one of your favourite things there.
Yeah, it is. I want to be fed through regurgitation.
And juveniles start breeding about 2 to 3 years old.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such a special bird. And as we've talked about, quite a few... A
lot of threats.
Threats.
Yeah.
We'll get... First one, various marine predators, which is a natural part of the ecosystem.
Seals, sharks, orca, tasty little meal. But that is natural, so we shouldn't worry about that. That's just nature doing what nature does. But on the mainland, you know, dogs, particular threat. Also cats, stoats and ferrets.
Yeah.
And they can get run over by cars or vehicles.
Yeah.
And they can be hit by boats. And so there's a bit of fatalities through us sort of colliding with the poor little things.
Absolutely.
And coastal development's taken away a lot of their mainland breeding sites.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, there was a court case a number of years ago, Kennedy Point Wharf development in Waiheke, and, you know, they were destroying Korora breeding sites.
Absolutely.
And a lot of protests, court action, but, yeah, it went ahead anyway, which it often does.
Yeah, and I think I just want to mihi to Ngāti Pāua and the protesters and the protest they put up, because it was really powerful to see that.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me that, you know, we are not separate from nature. And, yeah, like with the whakatauki, it says, you know, he korora, he ora. He tohu oranga, you know, the korora as well, like we are well as well.
I think the more we do that, the more we diminish ourselves.
Hard out.
You know?
Yeah, it's like like, yeah, just like stabbing yourself in the back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, ngā mihi, Ngāti Pāua, thank you for the mihi you did in that space.
So all those above threats resulted in big decline in numbers, and the offshore islands are kind of the refuge sort of areas for them. But there's also food availability, climate change impacts, because warmer seas either reduces food availability or it shifts when it becomes available, and that sometimes doesn't work out with their breeding season. So they might be trying to feed their young, but there's not much fish around.
Yep.
Fishing pressures also reduce food stocks. And so you can result in quite a few starving penguins, and they can wash up dead or starved on the beach, which is quite distressing for people who find them. But if you do find a starving or distressed penguin on the beach, ring DOC, or there's bird rescue groups, or there's an 0800 sick penguin helpline.
Absolutely.
But don't try and feed them, because you'll probably kill them with what you feed them.
Yes.
And try not to handle them, but, you know.
Yeah.
If you can help them by reaching out and getting some expert help, that's all good.
Yeah.
In the ocean, they get caught in nets, and plastic pollution causes death through either eating the plastic, thinking it's food, or being tangled up in the plastic.
Oh, God, it's bleak. We need to end the plastic industry right now.
And then oil spills like the Rena disaster off Tauranga. That
was awful.
Thousands of seabirds, including penguins, to perish.
Yeah.
But there's some hope.
Some hope for the kōrora, the little
tourism.
Penguin.
Yep. And so you've been out and looked at a few of those, haven't you?
Yeah. Been to Banks Peninsula, then also growing up in Timaru, they have kōrora that come into the beach for nesting every night. And there's like this one bird that stands on a rock and like puffs out his chest. And he just does that every night.
Yeah.
And they've got a special name for him. I've forgotten the name.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But that's the Helps family in Banks Peninsula.
Yep.
That's where you, and so they've done an awesome job.
Yeah, they have.
On
they
their
really
sheep
have.
Farm since 1969 when they bought it. And they realised the kōrora was there. And so they've actively looked after them, run tours. All the money they earn goes back into protecting them and other species. So that's awesome.
It is amazing.
And I came across this awesome Aussie story.
Oh, true.
Where the little blue penguin was being decimated by foxes on a nearshore middle island in Warrambool, Victoria.
Yep.
And conservation's trained up these Marama sheepdogs to protect the penguins from the foxes. And
that's
they've been
cool.
doing that for the last 10 years.
Wow,
that's
an amazing
cool.
story of dogs from predators to protectors,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah.
That's special
awesome.
As Pete.
So good.
So, yeah, a big kōrero today, but a lot of hope for this bird and people doing really, really important work. And you've got a song to send us off into the day.
I sort of threw in a search for, little blue penguin songs, and this person Levity Beat does these children's songs, and he's come up with this little blue penguin song, and it's very cool.
Awesome.
And good for the manu.
Awesome. Thanks, Pete. Me
huddle.
Little
blue grey bird. Why did the penguins cross the road? They have their burrows on the other side. They're so shy, they come home late at night. Late to bed, but early to rise. I'm a little blue, I'm a little blue, I'm a little blue penguin. I'm a little blue, I'm a little blue, I'm a little flightless bird. Maybe can't fly, but you should see me dive like an arrow underwater. I'm a little blue, catch a little fish, I'm a little blue great bird. Why did the penguins cross the road? They have their burrows on the other side. They're so shy, they come home late at night. Late to bed, but early to rise. I'm a little blue, I'm a little blue, I'm a little blue penguin. I'm a little blue, I'm a little blue, I'm a little flightless bird.
Maybe can't fly, but you should see me dive like an arrow underwater. I'm a little blue, catch a little fish, I'm a little blue great bird.
Beautiful.
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.